Hi, this is Alex Morse. I'm the founder of TSOH Investment Research and the author of Buffett and Munger Unscripted. The book is a collection of insights from Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, two goats in the world of business and investing. The source of those insights is the Berkshire Hathaway shareholder meetings, which, for decades, were only accessible to in-person meeting attendees. That changed in 2018, when Berkshire publicly released video recordings for each meeting back to 1994. In writing Buffett and Munger Unscripted, I reviewed all of the meeting videos, covering a total of roughly 150 hours and more than 1,700 shareholder questions. The output is a collection of investment and business wisdom that covers topics like the art of intelligent investing, how to effectively structure incentives for managers and employees, dealing with risk and uncertainty in the stock market, and much more. Today, I would like to share five key insights from Buffett and Munger Unscripted. Insight number one, the role of continual learning and a willingness to change. Warren Buffett's early years in the investment business consisted of what is known as cigar butt investing, finding a soggy cigar on the floor, but which had one free puff left. In the world of investing, that largely consisted of investing in companies where the net assets on the balance sheet more than covered the cost of the business as it was priced in the stock market. It relied on the value of tangible assets, which could be quantified and valued with a certain level of specificity. Buffett's approach evolved over time to recognize the value of intangible assets as well, most notably with the See's Candy acquisition in 1972. As Charlie Munger recounted at the 2004 meeting, continual learning and refinement of his approach had been a key factor to Buffett's long-term success. Munger, I've watched Warren throughout all these decades, and he has learned a hell of a lot, even in the last 20 or 30 years. It's a lifelong game, and if you don't keep learning, other people will pass you by. Buffett, but you don't have to have any blinding insights or a high IQ. Look at PetroChina, for example. If you're buying something like that at maybe one-third of what comparable oil companies are selling for, that's not high-level stuff. You have to be willing to read the reports, but I enjoy doing that. You wouldn't say that requires any high-level insights or anything. Munger, when you were buying that block of stock, nobody else to speak of was buying. So the insights can't have been all that common. No, I think it takes a certain amount of what an old Omaha friend used to call uncommon sense. He used to say, there is no common sense. When people say common sense, they mean uncommon sense. Part of it, I think, is being able to tune out folly as distinguished from recognizing wisdom. If you just have whole categories of things you bat away, so your brain isn't cluttered with them, then you're better able to pick up a few sensible things to do. Insight number two, the importance of proper incentive structures. As investors and managers, Buffett and Munger have witnessed how incentives drive behavior. In some notable instances, like the Wells Fargo fake account scandal in the mid-2010s, companies Berkshire was invested in were negatively impacted by the deleterious impact of faulty incentive structures. Inside Berkshire, one business that has been greatly impacted by incentives is the insurance operations. As Buffett and Munger discussed at the 2016 meeting, the pressures that arise for public companies, most notably in terms of the desire to deliver short-term results that satisfy stock market investors, must be fully considered. Otherwise, the tail will wag the dog and short-term incentives will outweigh intelligent long-term decision-making. Buffett. One of the problems some insurers have had is they have a pressure for increasing premium volume every year, brought upon by Wall Street. We actually contracted the business written by National Indemnity by 80% or something of the sort when it became less attractive. I'm not sure any manager of a public company answering to quarterly earnings call and that sort of thing could have really stood up to the kind of pressure that they would receive if they followed a similar policy. If we do something stupid, it's because we did something stupid. No external factors are pressing on us. Most people, if you own half of 1% of a company or less, and other people are doing stupid things that Wall Street is applauding and you're not doing them, it can be very hard to resist. You get offered a lot of opportunities to do things that are stupid. We were major writers of natural catastrophe insurance in the US some years ago when the prices were right. We don't think the prices are right now, so we don't write it. We haven't left the market has left us. We are not about to do something where we get paid 90 cents for running a probabilistic loss of a dollar. It just doesn't make any sense and we won't do it. And we don't put any pressure on anybody to do it and their incomes are not dependent on doing it. Munger. It is very hard to shrink an insurance operation by 80% when the people who come in every day don't have enough to do, and it's a counterintuitive thing to do. But it's absolutely required that you do it in a place where people go as crazy as they do in the insurance business. The main thing is practically nobody else does it. And yet, to me, it's obvious it's the way to go. There's a lot in Berkshire like that. It's a little different from the way other people do it. It's partly the luxury of having a controlling shareholder of strong opinions in Warren. It would be hard for a committee to come up with these decisions. Insight number 3, focus on what's important and knowable. A recurring theme at the Berkshire Hathaway annual meetings over the decades were shareholder questions about big unknowns. Think macroeconomic developments, geopolitical concerns, etc. When pressed on these topics, Buffett and Munger often returned to two straightforward ideas: think long-term and less is more. At the 1998 meeting, Buffett presented a historic example that helped to frame why narrowing one's purview can be a superpower of sorts in investing. Buffett: "We are just looking for decent businesses. We try to think about two things, things that are important and things that are knowable. Now, there are things that are important that are not knowable. In our view, the questions that you raised about macroeconomic developments fall in that. There are things that are knowable but not important. We don't want to clutter our minds up with those. So we say, what is important and what is knowable? And what among the things that fall within those two categories can we translate into some kind of an action that is useful for Berkshire? We do think we know something about what Coca-Cola, Gillette, Disney, and our operating subsidiaries are going to look like in 10 years. We care a lot about that. We think a lot about that, and we want to be right about that. If we're right about that, other things are less important. And if we started focusing on those other things, we would miss a lot of big things." Coca-Cola went public in 1919. A share at the time cost $40, and the first year it went down a little over 50% to $19 per share. There were some problems with bottler contracts, various kinds of problems. If you'd had perfect foresight, you would have seen the world's greatest depression staring you in the face, when the social order even got questioned. You'd have seen World War II. You would have seen atomic bombs and hydrogen bombs. You would have seen all kinds of things, and you could always find a reason to postpone why you should buy that share of Coca-Cola. But the important thing was to see that they were going to be selling about 1 billion 8-ounce servings of beverages a day this year, or some large number like that. And that the person who could make people happy a billion times a day around the globe ought to make a few bucks off doing it. And so that $40 per share, which went down to $19 per share, has to be worth well over $5 million now with dividends reinvested. If you developed a view on other subjects that in any way forestalled you acting on this more important, specific, narrow view about the future of the company, you would have missed a great ride. So that's the kind of thing we focus on. Munger: "We're not predicting the currents that will come, just how some things will swim in the currents, whatever they are." Insight number 4, the risk of false precision. Related to the last insight, a key part of long-term investing is to be roughly right about the key variables, as opposed to being precisely wrong due to overconfidence and an insufficient margin of safety. A prominent example in the world of finance is the efficient market hypothesis and the capital asset pricing model, widely taught approaches at higher universities in the 80s and 90s for thinking about markets and measuring risk. As Buffett and Munger discussed at the 1998 meeting, the academics had overdosed on mathematics. Their quest for precision had led them astray. Buffett: "Keynes said that most economists are most economical about their ideas. They make the ones they learned in graduate school last a lifetime. You spend years getting your PhD in finance and you learn theories with a lot of mathematics in them that the average layman can't do. And you become sort of a high priest. You get an enormous amount of yourself, your ego, and even professional security invested in those ideas. It gets very hard to back off after a given point. I think that to some extent that has contaminated the teaching of investing in the universities." Munger: "I would argue that contamination was massive, but it's waning. The good ideas eventually triumph." Buffett: "I've always found the word anomaly interesting. It's something academicians could not explain, and rather than re-examine their theories, they simply discarded any evidence of that sort as anomalous. I think when you find information that contradicts previously cherished beliefs, you have a special obligation to look at it quickly. Whenever Darwin found something that contradicted some previous belief, he knew that he had to write it down almost immediately because the human mind was so conditioned to reject contradictory evidence that that unless he got it down in black and white very quickly, his mind would simply push it out of existence. Munger, one of these extreme efficient market theorists, explained Warren for many, many years as an anomaly of luck. And he got the six sigmas, six standard deviations of luck. And then people started laughing at him because six sigmas of luck is a lot. So he changed his theory. Now Warren has six sigmas of skill. The one thing he couldn't bear to leave was his six sigmas. Insight number five. When possible, avoid difficult decisions. When Charlie Munger would review a potential investment, he'd ultimately put it into one of three piles. In, out, or too hard. In investing, there are no called strikes. You can patiently wait with the bat on your shoulders for a great pitch to swing at. This idea is applicable in other parts of life as well. As Buffett and Munger discussed at the 1994 shareholder meeting, the things they've avoided was a key part of how they succeeded picking amongst what was left over. Buffett. Some businesses are a lot easier to understand than others, and Charlie and I don't like difficult problems. We'd rather multiply by three than by pi. It's just easier for us. Munger. That is such an obvious point, and yet so many people think that if they just hire somebody with the appropriate labels, they can do something very difficult. This is one of the most dangerous ideas a human being can have. All kinds of things are just intrinsically create problems. The other day I was dealing with a problem, and I said, this new building has three things I've learned to fear. An architect, a contractor, and a hill. And if you go at life like that, I think you will at least make fewer mistakes than people who think they can do just about anything by hiring somebody with a label. You don't have to hire out your thinking if you keep it simple. So those are my five insights from Buffett and Munger Unscripted. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy reading the book.